Chapter 23. Sword Names Given in Memoriam. Aboard the Horus Triumphant, the orders came through from the Iron Heart. In the short time it had taken to assume control of the ship, Lumak and Neuros had set about ensuring they had its guns, its engines, and its shields. The warp drive was also guarded, and any remaining rogue elements loyal to the Sons of Horus were systematically being rooted out and captured or killed. The process was not unlike hunting down rats, for although the Iron Tenth and their allies controlled the ship, they did so by dint of possessing its vital areas, rather than through numerical superiority. That, for now, remained with the renegades. Neuros had no taste for void war, so Lumak took the throne and overall command. Without a bridge crew, he put fresh servitors to work and had his warriors oversee everything they did.
"We might not be agile, but we are battle-ready," said Lumak,
as an armature descended to remove his power generator and cables snaked into ports on his armour, jacking him into the ship's many systems. Neuros faced the oculus, his arms folded.
"Shall we get underway, Iron Brother?" he asked.
Lumak looked to the ship's helm.
"All ahead, full. Bring us to within lance range and then commence persistent bombardment."
With a lurch of engines, the Horus Triumphant began to move, coming abeam of the enduring Tenth and Morlock. Lances began to prime, building to optimal power. Engagement with the remaining Sons of Horus fleet showed across the oculus. Silent prow guns and broadsides flashed in the darkness. Shield flare rippled across the Horus Triumphant's front aspect.
"Battle stations,"
intoned Lumak, and the lights on the bridge dimmed. They flickered once, and Neuros looked up at the sudden staccato flash, but the lights normalized quickly enough.
"Prepare to fire,"
Lumak said calmly, the captured ship still driving forwards.
"Reduce speed to one-third."
The engine thrum eased. Tremors underfoot lessened, even as the hull groaned with the diminished pressure on its physical integrity. The shields flared constantly now, as an unending barrage came from the Sons of Horus ships, fearlessly closing on the Iron Tenth.
"They are trying to provoke us, Drake,"
said Lumak, feeling powerful with the fury of a battleship at his fingertips. Neuros did not answer. The lights flickered again, in time with the shield flare. The Horus Triumphant, together with the enduring Tenth and the Morlock, moved in a wedge, a discreet flotilla within the broader Iron Hands fleet. Hundreds of glittering contrails lit the void, the wake of a mass torpedo launch. The engines trembled again, fed by a sudden surge of power. Lumak looked to the ship's helm.
"Why aren't we slowing down?"
The Iron Hand at the helm shook his head. He wrenched the servitor aside, effectively destroying it as he tried to access the engines himself. Lumak engaged the vox to the Enginarium, hailing the warriors he had placed to safeguard it, but a weird static fouled any attempts to reach them. He then noticed the lances had yet to fire. He leaned up from his command throne, straining at the cables trying to hold him down.
"Neuros!"
The salamander had drawn his axe, his gaze on the part of the bridge where the dead crew had lain, executed in ritual fashion. The bodies had been removed, but the stain of their deaths remained. Vapours rose from the blood. Lumak saw faces within them. They were thickening by the second, coalescing into a murky red pall.
"Gorgon's mercy,"
he breathed, severing the cables with his gladius and wincing at the empathic pain of separation. For a fleeting moment he felt the presence of the ship, wrathful and utterly alien.
"All hands,"
he began to say, before something materialized in the vapours. A flash of light threw Neuros back. He struck the oculus. A stink of sour milk and spoiled meat fouled the air. It was hot and heady with the energy release of sudden matter translation. Three hulking black-armoured forms emerged through the blood mist, clad in cataphracty warplate. A red glow emanated from the vision slits in their helms, promising pain, exuding malice. They proclaimed their allegiance boldly, the Eye of Horus emblazoned on their massive shoulder guards. Gunfire flared from the figures, scything down servitors and legionaries with abandon. Lumak cried out,
"Just tear in!"
at the same moment as the vox shrieked back to life. Frantic reports flooded the feed, vying with the screams of battle and the cries of the dying. Fear and fury erupted in sudden cacophony. Across the entire ship, the Iron Hands and their allies came under attack via matter translation. And in turn, the newly arrived warriors released others, and all too soon the interlopers were overrun. At every ritual site, at every fane and shrine the Tenth had shattered under Stock and Heel, the warriors of the 16th Legion appeared. Lumak staggered from the throne, his skull hammering with the pain of forced dislocation. A melter beam speared Kurnox through the chest, halting his brave charge. He fell, left leg severed and most of his torso missing. He died quickly. Neuros fought against one of the Justerin, managing to hold his own against Ezekiel Abaddon's elite. Lumak felt a bolt round graze his skull as he reached for the Svihander. He leapt from the command dais, landing hard but rising fast as a power fist thundered into the deck where he had been crouched a moment before. He slashed, shoulder to hip, parting reinforced adamantium plate with a single devastating blow. The Justerin recoiled, barely able to comprehend what had just happened. Then his two halves slid apart, the weight of the upper dragging it across the lower, and he collapsed amidst his own steaming organs. Two remained, one still carrying the multi-melter. Neuros hacked pieces off the other one, but as the Horus Triumphant's broadside sounded and sent a tremor through the ship, he lost his footing. The Justerin's power fist caught him full in the chest, lifting Neuros off his feet and sending him flying back across the bridge. The Justerin turned, slowed considerably by his injuries, and Lumak ran the warrior through with his Svihander. As he wrenched the sword free, the last Justerin on the bridge saw him. A melter beam caught the Iron Hand's shoulder, tearing off his pauldron and burning away everything beneath down to the bone. Shutting down the agony, ignoring his left arm as it slumped uselessly by his side, Lumak hefted his sword in one hand and cast it like a spear. The blade punched through the back of the Justerin's helmet. The warrior staggered and then collapsed. Another broadside rocked the bridge, now cast in the ugly, bruised glow of imminent shield failure. The traitors had retaken the ship's guns. Lumak would not yield the bridge. He put his foot on the dead warrior's chest and wrenched free the sword with a scrape of metal and bone. Blood spat from the ragged wound. The vox had not ceased shrieking. Weary, dying, Lumak shut it off. He would never reach the Iron Heart. And by now they would have realized the Horus Triumphant had been compromised. As he staggered over to where Neuros lay unmoving, he noticed the cold carcass of the Morlock drifting across the oculus. Fires burned in its hollows, soon extinguished. A part of its superstructure had broken off and hung forlornly in the void. The broadsides at close range from the Horus Triumphant had gutted it. He tried not to think about the surprise and horror the poor souls within must have experienced when a ship they believed a friend, but wearing the enemy's face, had turned on them. The shields flared again, and he shaded his eyes against the harsh glare. Not long now until total collapse. He sagged down by Neuros's side. Everyone else was dead. The ship was dead. It had betrayed them, just as their brothers had betrayed them. He should not be surprised, he supposed. Neuros lay on his front. With some effort, Lumak rolled him over. The salamander's eyelids flickered, then opened. His chest was ruined, the breastplate dented inwards and leaking blood. Lumak did not need an apothecary's training to know Neuros had suffered catastrophic organ damage.
"You should be dead," he whispered,
hot tears stinging the cuts on his pale face as he knelt by the salamander's side. Neuros smiled, his teeth bloody. He coughed up a gout of blood, phlegm, and other organic matter.
"Tell me,"
he rasped with profound difficulty, spitting up dark red flecks with every breath.
"Have you named your sword?"
"I name it Firedrake," Lumak said, with more conviction and vehemence than he had felt in a long time. "In honor of the fallen, and for a bond of brotherhood that runs deeper than blood or legion."
Neuros smiled, then was dead. Lumak bowed, the hilt of the Svihander pressed to his forehead. The shields failed in a spectacular explosion of light. Lumac raised his eyes, determined to meet his end with defiance in his heart.
Gorgon! Vulcan!
He bellowed. A shoal of torpedoes moments from impact, and embraced the fire. The defection and subsequent death of the Horus Triumphant destroyed both the Morlock and the Enduring Tenth. In turn, their death throes crippled the Sturmdrang and the Strength of Iron. Medjuson's advantage, like his composure, dwindled to smoke. Sensing weakness, Mars' fleet pressed their attack, but the battle's outcome still rested on a knife's edge.
This is reckless.
Org's words crackled through Medjuson's helm vox as he made haste to the launch bays.
It's vengeance, he snarled, for Lumac and Neuros and every one of our sworn brothers who died on that ship. Mar dies. I won't run from him anymore.
He passed through the spinal corridor, a train of iron hands in tow.
To stand and fight now sees us in a losing position.
Does logic tell you that, Org?
Must I answer that?
The doors parted with a soft hiss. Light and sound briefly flooded the corridor before the doors sealed shut again behind Medjuson and his warriors.
Asked and answered, I'd say. I defy your logic. It has brought us nothing but pain. It is the Iron Creed, said Org. It is the reason we still survive and shall go on to survive after this. I implore you, Shadrach, turn back. Retreat and salve our wounds. Honor Lumac and the others.
Mikosa went on ahead, hailing the engine seers and ensuring every boarding torpedo was ready for imminent launch.
There is no honour in retreat, Jebes.
Bring the Ironheart within minimum range of our boarding craft. As soon as our forces have breached the Lupercalpa Suivant, engage the rest of Mars' fleet hard. Borgus and Jacus are poised to commit every asset they have to this. Make sure their launches are simultaneous with ours. I will need the aid of their warriors once aboard. After I cut the head from this snake, the renegade's stomach for a fight will diminish.
You will not be dissuaded?
I will not.
Then what choice have I but to do as ordered?
None.
Medjuson cut the feed. Last aboard the insertion craft, he never gave the Iron Heart a second glance as he climbed into a grav harness. His only thought was of reaching the Lupercalpa Suivant and a reckoning with Tybalt Mar. The engines fired, hot and roaring. Org listened to the dead feed for a moment before returning to his duties. He brought the Ironheart close, weathering a severe amount of punishment. The launch sigil on the ship's helm display turned from red to green as they reached minimum range.
All vessels away,
he intoned, and the Ironheart sent forth her payload into the darkness. Numerous boarding craft struck out for the Lupercalpa Suivant, several of them decoys bearing false heat signatures to fool the enemy's missiles. Org watched them keenly via the tactical hololith. Three failed to reach the target, shot down or driven off course. The rest reached the ship. A further two exploded to the diligent fire of automated deck guns before they could breach. The rest cut through the hull and made swift ingress. Medjuson was amongst them.
Thank the Gorgon, he muttered.
No one heard him, his words lost amidst the clamour of battle. Nor did they hear him hail Kuleg Rort and the other Iron Fathers. The heavy firefight had seized the arterial corridor to the armoury. Medjuson and Mikosa had made steady progress towards the bridge, their boarding torpedo hitting high above the vessel's midline and only a few decks below command. A fierce battle had seen them overwhelm an understrength barracks, but they ran foul of automated defences and barricades en route to the armoury. A ferocious barrage of weapons fire had them pinned behind their boarding shields, an ever-diminishing ring of iron.
Org!
Medjuson bellowed down the vox.
Send reinforcements, every reserve we've got. Concentrate on this position, and where are Jacus and Borgus's squads, damn it!
Org gave no response. Medjuson tried again, but still got the same result. Static. Dead air. He exchanged a grim look with Mikosa, their eyes just visible behind the glow of retinal lenses.
We are on our own, said Medjuson.
What of Jacus and Borgus?
Have you heard from either of them, or their promised boarding squads since we first breached the hull?
Mikosa shook his head. Either they are dead, said Medjuson, or they aren't coming.
Then we have to break out ourselves.
Makosa drew a power maul, a weapon of the Meridius pattern, and sent a crackle of energy across its flanged head.
I'll lead the sortie. You follow, war leader.
I'll lead, Makosa.
Makosa shook his head.
With respect, I cannot allow that. You have to reach Mar and kill him.
Knowing better than to resist, Medjuson nodded. Makosa led the charge. He took several hits, his armor split and broken. He had to limp the last few meters, but the automatic guns fell silent, spiked by crack grenades. Smoke and the acerbic stench of physoline hung heavy in the recycled atmosphere. As it slowly dissipated, it revealed two dead iron hands. Medjuson murmured their names, committing their sacrifice to memory.
Makosa, he said upon reaching the clan Sorgol captain, can you walk?
Makosa had bled profusely, but his body had already begun to seal its wounds.
I'll need a bionic when this is over,
he said, gesturing to his ruined leg.
I can walk. A bloody fight, too.
Medjuson clapped him on the shoulder.
By the Gorgon, you will.
He paused to review the schematic extracted from one of the ship's cogitators. Danelok had died to retrieve that information. He had been amongst the first to fall when they had breached the ship. Medjuson swore that he would not waste his brother's sacrifice. A labyrinthine nest of corridors lay ahead, followed by a large atrium Medjuson did not like the look of. A much narrower sword hall ran underneath it, almost parallel. Cross it, fight their way up one deck, and they would be standing before the bridge. Medjuson marked the route on his retinal display and sent it to the rest of the boarding party. The last few sections of the ship had been manned by automated defences.
Mar is running out of men. He must have spent a lot of lives trying to kill us. But I'm still not risking that atrium. It's too wide, too large.
The sword hall has alcoves, protruding buttresses, solid cover, said Makosa.
It was decided. They quickly reached the sword hall, despite Makosa's injury. A narrow chamber stretched before them, lit by burning lumen staves ensconced into the walls. Old banners hung in alcoves that described numerous campaigns and wars of conquest. Medjuson's bile rose when he saw a standard dedicated to the massacre at Istvan V. He slashed it corner to corner with his Albion steel sword, and the pieces fell to the floor. He spat on it, and the acid in his saliva burned the fabric. A tall arch, limbed with a faint, gloaming light, awaited them at the end of the hall.
A little foreboding,
remarked Makosa.
This entire ship is foreboding, replied Medjuson. It feels wrong.
A few warriors from the other boarding party nodded.
Another route?
Asked Makosa. They had already tried several, internal bulkheads shutting them out before they had progressed far. The vox crackled, a moment of intemperate static.
Medjuson,
came a voice, broken but with the telltale metallic harshness of the tenth.
Brother, your interruption is most welcome.
Hurry, Medjuson.
The voice sounded urgent, as if the speaker had been injured.
Where are you, brother?
Hurry! We are dying!
Makosa made to advance until Medjuson stopped him.
We should not delay, war leader, he said.
Something is wrong.
Hurry! We will not last much longer.
I hear Iron Hands in trouble, said Makosa.
It must be the squads Jackus sent, or Borgus.
Tell me, Makosa, said Medjuson, glancing to the darkness now in their wake and measuring it against the one light ahead.
Do you recognize his voice? The plea for aid repeated, similar to before, but always with the imperative towards urgency. Makosa listened. His demeanor hardened, and he grew circumspect.
I do not. Hurry, please, or we are already dead.
Medjuson turned to the others.
We go back. Find another way.
He'd been about to consult the schematic map when the image corrupted. Even his eidetic memory seemed unable to recall the layout, as if something were impeding it.
Hurry! We stand alone by the Gorgon's side! Hurry! For he has fallen!
Makosa's voice grew cold, and the air seemed to freeze with it.
That's Istvan. How? Hurry, Medjuson! Don't let us die!
That's not Istvan, said Medjuson. I don't know what that is, but it's not Istvan and it's not our brothers. We go back now. A bulkhead slammed down, cutting off the route back. Makosa turned to Medjuson.
We could cut through it.
Medjuson thought about it, but then shook his head. It would take too long, and we have no way of knowing how thick it is.
Why does it feel like we are being herded?
Medjuson eyed the gloaming light ahead.
Because we are.
He gave the order to advance. Move! To the light! To the light, swiftly now, brothers! The Iron Hands hurried towards the arch, urgent, aggressive, until a bulkhead slammed down across it, smothering the light. Another slammed down at the other end of the hall, even further in, preventing escape.
Two bulkheads behind, one ahead, said Makosa.
Medjuson nodded. Shields up! The Iron Hands came together, shields facing out. Auto-defense turrets sprang from concealed compartments above, hidden in the vaults and the shadows. Flamers bathed the shield wall, their intensity eventually breaking it apart before heavy bolters took advantage of the breach. The single cohort of Iron Hands broke into several smaller groupings, shooting up at the defensive weapons but finding them protected by shields with firing slits.
"Smash the heavy guns! Release smoke to foul their aim!"
snapped Medjuson.
"Stand together! Take it! We can break out of this!"
As the false walls behind the alcoves turned, becoming archways themselves and admitting Mars warriors into the fray, Medjuson realized they couldn't break out. He had been lured here to his death. He had been betrayed by those he considered his allies. Again. A warrior cried out,
"Iron Tenth!"
but was quickly silenced. Others took up the cry, and a brief fight ensued, but Medjuson's men were soon killed or suppressed. As the last sounds of battle died away, Medjuson found himself on his knees facing Makosa with the last of his men. All had been bound by the wrist with heavy manacles. Each had a chain blade or power sword resting against the back of his neck. Several lay on the ground, unmoving. Blood scent pricked his nostrils at the rough removal of his war helm. A dark pool reached across the floor of the sword hall to touch his knee plates. His ragged face, glowering with impotent rage, reflected back at him. He looked older than he remembered. Beaten.
"You bastard!"
Makosa began, before a heavy blow silenced him and he slumped in his chains. The others in the tenth glared, stoic, defiant.
"Where is your leader?"
Medjuson hissed, slammed back down heavily as he tried to rise from his knees.
"All in good time,"
a grating voice replied. Medjuson managed to turn his head a little and saw the edge of a mortuary sword, its basket hilt fashioned from some poor warrior's death mask. The weapon could easily cut his neck in two in a single blow, but he suspected it wasn't for this warrior to claim that honour.
"Do you recognise him?"
asked the hulking champion, who had Medjuson at his mercy, gesturing to the death mask.
"One of yours, formerly."
Medjuson stared ahead, refusing to be goaded further. A phalanx of Sons of Horus stood before him. The bulkheads had since been raised, and the light cast from the archway at the end of the hall just edged the upper parts of their armour. Footsteps resounded, slow and deliberate. In the background, the sounds of ship-to-ship combat steadily diminished. The phalanx parted, and a warrior stepped into the light, a captain, judging by his rank markings. He had the look of a pugilist, bold and pugnacious.
"Oh," said Tybalt Mar, "how I have waited for this."
The captain cut a brutal and battle-hardened figure in his scarred warplate. His face and shaven head were a cartograph of suffering and conflict. His cold eyes looked eager for more. He smiled, then struck Medjuson hard across the left temple. The sword hall faded, turning to black. Darkness reigned. Gorgonson headed with all haste for the Ironheart's launch bays. Borgus and Jackus had not responded to his personal hails, the feed jammed. He had armoured himself, and his bolter hung by his side on a leather strap. A chainsword sat in a sheath across his back. A bandolier of grenades was slung over his right shoulder, and he clutched his helm in his left hand as he walked. He had arranged for Dacus, Belgrid, Mimidos, and Kellor to meet him at the gunships. In turn, they would each bring four others. Few warriors remained on the Iron Heart, but Gorgonson was determined to gather as many as he could. Other battle captains had pledged warriors too, those he could reach. He had not sought the aid of the Iron Fathers, nor the veteran sergeant who served under Gaeln Kren. A schism had torn apart the Iron Tenth. He had seen it first take root at Lyax, but had failed to properly acknowledge the uncomfortable truth. He trooped down the corridor, possessed of such urgency that he almost failed to see the two immortals barring his path.
"Stand aside," he growled, pulling up sharply.
Both immortals held bolters at ease across their chests. Neither carried a breacher shield. One proffered the orb of a hololithic projector, and Gorgonson scowled as he realized what must be coming next. Org's image came to life before him.
"What are you doing, Goran?" he asked. "You are this ship's apothecary, and are therefore needed here. I am leading a rescue attempt, Handelect. War leader Medjuson has been taken."
The last contact from the Iron Hands aboard the Lupercalpa Suivant had suggested as much.
"Borgus and Jacus are unreachable. I don't believe their warriors made it to the enemy flagship." "I cannot sanction that. The fleet is in full retreat."
"What?"
"We are leaving, Goran."
"You will condemn him to death."
"Then he will have died bravely."
"You cannot mean this, Org."
"It is better this way. Shadrach would have brought us to the edge of extinction."
"He forged us into a legion and gave us hope."
"I am sorry, Goran."
"You don't get to call me that. I do not recognize your friendship or fraternity."
He spat onto the deck, the globule slowly sizzling as it ate away the metal.
"I should have ended it on Lyax."
"You changed."
"I did. I became stronger. The flesh is weak."
"So are you, freighter,"
snapped Gorgonson, mustering as much bile as he could into the words.
"I am truly sorry, but the Legion must survive."
Gorgonson never even got a hand to his bolter before the immortals cut him down. A host of incorporeal figures surrounded Org on the bridge. Borgus and Jacus had taken exception to the sudden withdrawal. Both raged at the Iron Heart's freighter. A freak malfunction in their launch bays had prevented their troops joining Medjuson's aboard the Lupercalpa Suivant, and they demanded answers. Org gave them none. Nor did the apparitions of the Iron Fathers also summoned to the impromptu council. Org merely watched, as one by one the hololithic feeds of any belligerent battle captains flickered out, their signals overridden by the Iron Fathers. Borgus would not submit without a fight, and turned to face some unknown opponent before his image crackled and disappeared. But Jacus might yet relent, Org considered, when he realized his situation had become untenable. The other officers fell into line quickly, or were placed under guard. Org would convince them of the necessity for extreme measures later. He would convince them it was done for the right reasons, for logical reasons. The Legion must survive. If only Medjuson had realized that, and what it meant, instead of pursuing his vengeful and ultimately self-destructive vendetta against Tybalt Mar.
"It is done?"
asked Rort, speaking for the newly arrayed Iron Council. Org nodded.
"We shall endure, Iron Fathers. It is the will of the Gorgon."
Medjuson came around in a dank cell in the bowels of the Lupercalpa Suivant. Makosa glanced across at him from the other side of their confinement. He had a blade to his neck, angled down towards the heart, and two renegades held him fast. He saw no sign of the other warriors who had survived the ambush in the Sword Hall.
"Let him go,"
Medjuson demanded, the pain in his skull where Mar had struck him a dull ache. He had minders, too, and felt the pressure of augmented strength against his shoulders. The champion again.
"No,"
said a voice from the shadows, and Tybalt Mar stepped forwards. He gestured to Makosa, and then to his warriors.
"Kill him."
Medjuson roared, but they slew Mercosa without hesitation. The gladius came out of his neck slick and heady with transhuman blood. Medjuson strained against his keepers, the veins in his neck bulging with effort, but was held fast.
"A little oil in there, perhaps," said Mar.
"Bastard! What have you done with the rest of my men? Answer me!"
Mar drew close, gesturing casually to Mercosa.
"They share his fate. I'll kill you for this.
I'll bloody well kill you!"
He struggled again and felt the sword tips draw blood. Mar merely looked his prey in the eye. Medjuson snarled through gritted teeth.
"My warriors are coming. I will be avenged."
"Or you will kill me, or your warriors will kill me. Which is it?"
"Either way, you'll be dead."
Mar nodded, then motioned to the guards.
"Get him on his feet."
Medjuson felt the pain of his injuries flare in anger as he was hauled up. Mar took another step, their noses almost touched.
"Taller than I expected," he said. "It is really you, isn't it? I wanted to be sure. I had to be sure. But it is you this time. I'll kill you,"
Medjuson seethed.
"Oh, you've said that already. I expected better, if I'm honest. Something..."
He frowned, trying to find the right word, but failed and settled for a lesser one.
"More.
You filth! Fight me. Prove who is the stronger. It's what you want."
Mar stepped back.
"Oh, that's better. Trying to find a way out. Your strategy is flawed, though. Because you're wrong, Shadrach. You turned this into something personal. An oath sworn to your men, or more likely yourself. A vendetta. I, Tybalt Mar, your nemesis." "I never cared about you, Medjuson. But I had to be sure. I say that twice, so you know why I've kept you alive this long. It's not because you are a worthy foe and I wanted to fight you in some vainglorious arena of death. I had to know that you weren't coming back to haunt me like you did before. I don't want a duel."
He frowned, as if the very idea was distasteful.
"Or prove my worth. There's no honour in putting down a beaten dog. It's just mercy. I just need you dead."
Medjuson snarled, defiant to the end.
"I hope you choke on my blood, you scum-eating wretch. You will never break us. The Iron Tenth will endure. You will end..."
Mar drew his sword. It took one blow to cut off Medjuson's head. Tybalt Mar reached down to grasp the Iron Hand's severed head by the scalp.
"Like father, like son," he muttered. "Isn't that the phrase?"
"I would have fought him for you,"
said the champion, reluctantly sheathing his sword.
"I would not have him sully your blade, Sion."
Sion Azadine looked down at the headless corpse.
"He was a worthy enemy."
"Aye, he was. Most worthy. There will be worthier yet. Have no concern about that."
Cybele stepped into Mar's eyeline, wearing a disgruntled expression.
"You have something to add, Kyson?"
Mar asked. The part of the neck cavity still connected to Medjuson's severed head dripped quietly onto the floor.
"The Iron Hands and their allies have withdrawn from the field. If we neglect to pursue, they might..." "Do not worry yourself, Kyson. The Tenth are done. Without him, they pose no threat. He was a singular leader. Is it wise to leave a hostile force at large?" "They abandoned their general, Kyson. They have no stomach for a fight. We can deal with them later after Terra. We are rejoining the War Master's fleet. I want to look Grael Noctua in the eye when I present to him the head of Shadrach Medjuson."